Welcome again to another live edition of Anime Talk. I am Joe, your host, and I am back with two guests tonight. Hope you guys have fun as we start to ring out the summer season and bring in the fall. As always, I'm your host. I'm a writer at We Remember Love. And if you guys need to submit a question, you can either send a direct message or a reply to me on Twitter, or you can use the social stream to the right-hand side of the video. And if for whatever reason that doesn't work, you can always tag it with the hashtag shown on the screen there. But let me get to our first guest tonight. Mark, why don't you go ahead?
Yeah, I'm Mark, and I write for Colorful Poetry, and that's about it.
All right, yeah, Mark is a new guest tonight, so we'll get to know him a little better as we go on. Our next guest is a returnee, Sushi. Go ahead.
Hey, my name is Sushi. I currently write for Metanorn.net, and I also run my own blog, SushiGoKart.net.
Great. So, guys, remember, use the social stream on the right as we talk, get those questions in, and we'll get them answered at the end of the show. But let's start off. We are reaching the end of the summer season. There's been some ups and downs, some good shows, some bad shows. So let's talk about that. Mark, why don't you go ahead? Tell me what you feel was the shows you watched, what was the best show this season?
Excellent. This is actually a continuation off of the last season, Sengoku Collection. I actually thought that was the most enjoyable show out of everything I've watched this season, with the close second in Yoka. And, yeah, what do you guys think about that, actually?
I'm actually not really a fan of Sengoku Collection. I like Nobuna a lot, mainly because it maintains that sort of historical setting that I like with Sengoku anime. So I never really got into Sengoku Collection, but I think Kyoka's fantastic. I think it's a great show. So
that was pretty surprising. I mean, at times the Chitanda was a bit annoying, but that was a great As you got away from some of those, I guess, goofy mysteries at the beginning, those single episode mysteries were actually kind of fun to watch. You had some character development. I thought they were very enjoyable, despite being a complete mystery in one episode, or maybe not a mystery, but problem solving in one episode. It was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, I think the winner, what won me over with that show is a combination of how well the characters are characterized, and they actually develop, despite how, you could say, insipid the mysteries are. And then on top of that, there's my personal preference, which is cinematography. I'm a big fan of what Kyoka chooses to do with the camera. And I just thought it was a really solid show.
Definitely. It was very beautiful. It was well animated. They chose in this very last episode, I love the scene where, in his mind, he's basically confessing to her. And they have the wind blow and the petals go through her hair, and then it flashes back to the reality there for that moment. I thought that was a great. I mean, if this was a film, that would be great cinematography. If that makes sense.
Well, it's Kyo Annie, and they never skimp on that type of stuff. I mean, excellent cinematography, excellent animation, and a lot of one thing that I don't think they get a lot of credit for is their color choice. They have really beautiful color choice when it comes to setting up scenes and framing the characters and their backgrounds. Kyoka is exceptional in that regard. Compared to anything else that was playing over the summer, Kyoka was probably one of the most beautiful shows that was still airing.
Oh, absolutely. It's obviously we have to give a lot of credit to Kyoani and the reputation for having great animation. But I think, the technical artistry that went into that, into Hyoka especially, is genuinely masterful.
Now, I haven't read the light novels, but as an adaptation, it seemed to be consistent. Whoever the writer was for light novel apparently has a lot better skill than the writer for SAO and Excel World, but, that transition from written to animation seemed to be pretty good. I didn't see the same kind of hatred for Hyoka as I did for SAO, as a light novel to animated transition.
Oh, absolutely. That's also, the subject material itself, because SAO, we know how that played out with Chapter 16 and a half, and self-insert characters and whatnot. But Jokai itself is a rather old light novel, and I'm not sure if you guys caught this tweet before, but Jaren mentioned once that as Hyoka came out before the whole light novel as a genre, like the one we solidified in our head, before that fully developed, so I think that has a lot to do with it.
I mean, the one thing about SAO and, you know, its light novel and its anime adaptation, I think it catches a lot of flack because if the episodes aired in the way that they're presented in the light novel, it would just make for a very confusing anime, because all those side stories are in a separate book for Sword Art Online. So I think it catches unnecessary flack for that. But, I mean, Sword Art Online does have its own issues, and I guess, but it's been one of the most hyped shows this season, and I think it's decent. I really don't mind it, but definitely not in my top five for this season at all. But.
Now, what did you guys think of Jintai?
Oh.
Now, here, my personal opinion is, for me, anime is a medium to which I like to just sit down and watch. You know, I spend a lot of time during my day having to think about difficult things, having to, you know, tax my brain, so to speak. So when I watch a show, I really, honestly, at times, I don't want to think. And for me, Jintai was one of those shows that I was constantly having to try to make the references and follow the, you know what I mean? What they were being satirical about, or what they were, and just after a while, for me, that heavy-handedness, week after week after week, just kind of becomes a turnoff.
You know what I mean? My one problem with Jintai, I thought Jintai was great in terms of creativity, but when I sat down this week to sort of write my final review for my blog, and I was just, you know, thinking about the show, what happened, and, you know, trying to put everything in order, because, you know, it was aired achronologically. And I was trying to put all those pieces together, and I realized that, yeah, Miss Sweets was, like, a great character, but at the end of the day, outside of all that satire, I didn't get a satisfying story. And I think that's where the show really failed. You know, in order to get anything out of that show, you had to follow all that heavy-handed satire. You had to know where all the comedic jokes were actually coming from. And I feel like Jintai could have been something very special if it had paid attention to the basic things that an anime should do, such as, you know, tell a story, which it failed to do, honestly, in my opinion.
All right.
What are you thinking, Mark?
Yeah, my interest actually fell out for the series as well until the very end. Like, right after episode 6, or whichever one was the repetitious episode,
yes.
the Endless 8 one that they called, around there, right after that, my interest fell out, and then it got rejuvenated by the finale. But I actually think it did a very good job with telling a reverse chronological narrative. I just don't believe that it's not so much enjoyable because we're trying to watch it for meaning rather than we're trying to watch it for entertainment. So I thought that, like, definitely detracts from our viewing of it.
So, the one time slot we're not talking about at all is the Noitanma time slot. It was Moishimon and Rendezvous, right?
Natsuyuki
Rendezvous. So, where did those... I mean, those shows are supposed to be, you know, different. They're supposed to gather your attention. Did they for you guys or not? I didn't watch any of those shows this season.
I love Natsuyuki. Honestly, in my top two for this season, my number one spot going to Kokoro Connect. I guess we'll talk about that later. But I thought Natsuyuki was great. It was one of those shows that really didn't try to do too much. It was telling a romance with some supernatural elements in it, and that's what it did. And it was 11 episodes long. It stuck to its story. It didn't do anything crazy, and it just had a very satisfying conclusion. Like, there's nothing more I could have asked from that show. It had great music, great art direction, excellent voice acting, and just a story that was very well written. It wasn't the most creative story, but I think it was one of the best written stories this season. And I was really satisfied with that. But Moyashimon, it completely went over my head. I didn't have time to watch it.
I actually dropped Moyashimon around halfway through because I started losing interest in it. It's just not as consistent as the first season. And, like, what I'm expecting from Moyashimon is this, well, especially, I'm pretty sure everyone that's watched it remembers the gender issues that they address. Like, I don't believe that came up while I was watching it, and then also, it just got so much into its own thing that I just couldn't keep watching. It got boring for me.
What?
As for Natsuyuki, I didn't actually start watching it at all. So, since I hear it's good, I guess I should try it.
And just to refresh my memory, that was the one where there was the gal who's a shop owner, her husband had died, a new guy is hitting on her, and the ghost is still around, right?
Yes.
Okay.
It sounds like a very, very, like, cut and dry, very tropic sort of premise for a story. But to anyone that likes Jose or anyone that enjoys a good romance, I would definitely suggest watching Natsuyuki. It doesn't take that long. It's only 11 episodes long. And I remember when I blogged it on my personal blog for the entire season, and it just hits a lot of like personal notes for me. It goes through like the entire like sort of cycle of love, you know, failure, success, hope, all that type of stuff, and I just ate it up. I loved it.
Sounds good. Anything else from the? Okay, so what was the worst show you watched this season, or attempted to watch?
The worst show is definitely
Muv Luv.
No, not Muv Luv. I can't even say Muv Luv is the worst show.
What surprised me is not that
bad. Oh,
yes,
you can. Oh, yes, you can.
I think you could throw in the Aesthetica and Deki Nai in there as being at the bottom tier pretty quickly.
Whoa, not Deki Nai. Deki Nai.
No, Deki Nai was legit good, man.
Deki Nai is good. That show is good.
Yeah, it's gold.
I'm sorry, Joe, but that show.
That show was actually good. I'm not gonna lie. It does what it wants to do.
But that
it does it well.
But true, but that show is definitely the Queen's Blade of this season. Come on.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I suppose.
The whole point is for them to get into a fight. She loses her clothes. She gets re-energized. Her clothes come back on. It's this constant cycle.
No, sometimes her clothes don't come back on when she gets re-energized.
That's
true. Oh, like to make that distinction. But I would definitely say Campione is probably... I definitely hated Campione the most. Like, it drew so much ire from me. And mainly because it showed so much promise with its first episode. And then it just all went to shit the second episode. In general, I don't like harems too much, and that harem is, like, probably one of the worst harems I've seen in, like, the past 3 years.
Actually, can we talk about Joshiraku for a second? That's
sure.
Actually, I realize, I think that they, Gigi hasn't released the subs for up to now, up to the recent episode, but I honestly think that's, like, one of the best comedies I've seen in a long time. Like Min pointed out in the stream, or on Twitter, I think that's, it was hilarious. What do you guys think?
As someone who's not in tune with, I guess, Japanese politics, some of the minor things in culture, after the first episode, I was lost.
That's exactly what happened to me for Joshiraku. I remember getting an email from Hawthorne, from Metanoid, and saying that, you know, we're going to vlog Joshiraku together. I tried watching the first episode, and I was just completely lost. I just didn't get the sort of nuances in the jokes they do with, like, the Japanese language and stuff like that. So it kind of really went over my head.
Gotcha. Sorry we're having a little bit of feedback there. But I'm trying to think. Yeah, so I watched the first episode. Well, it was funny. You had five characters that were all, you know, representing their five points of view, doing their five different things. It just... Again, it was a little more heavy-handed, and it required you to understand some things to understand the jokes, and if you didn't understand that stuff, it was completely over your head.
Yeah, it's very heavily culturally marked, so there's definitely a geared audience for the show, and I think the reason why there was a lot of fence-upping drama over the show is because a lot of people don't think that it's worth fence-upping because it'll just go over a lot of people's heads. And I kind of agree looking back at it.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I would assume that it's like pretty, it's much more difficult to sub because you can't, you have to put all those annotations in there that sort of kind that sort of explain the jokes as well, right? While you're actually subbing it, so I'd assume that it actually takes a lot longer to sub than, say, something like Bimbo Gami, which is just a slapstick comedy.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of like jokes that are impossible to translate in the first place. So, it's just considering that it's a comedy that you'd have to somehow replace the jokes with something that's an equivalent in our culture, and fansubbers just didn't see that as a worthy point to follow.
So one show we haven't talked about tonight is Who Is My Sister?
Oh, God.
Of you is my sister?
The best show. Okay, can I... Yeah, this is... You guys can say something about it.
The only reason I appreciate that show is because it increases the traffic to my site by twofold. That's the only reason. Smiley, shout out to you. Thank you for blogging that piece of trash show.
but I think Mark has a different opinion.
Oh, no, mine's just a joke.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty bad, but I still watch it. I watch the entirety of it, and I actually enjoy it.
I think just the fact that the show is all about this guy trying to find his sister. Everybody thinks that he has a sister fetish, so they all try to be his sister. It's just kind of... It's just bad harem comedy in the end to me.
I feel... They all just need to sit down and have an intervention, and then they would be able to sort this all out, wouldn't they?
Yeah, exactly. If he would just publicly say, no, I don't have a sister fetish, and just it would solve it in the first episode, but that wouldn't be... The comedy would be over, and the whole show would have no point. It's much better to drag it.
Yeah, speaking of comedies, though, I think Bimbo Gami has been great. It's had a few problems along the way. You know, sometimes it got a little bit too melodramatic, but in terms of being funny for at least like the Western audience, it's great. The new thing, like, everybody's been posting that YouTube link of the song of fan service from the last episode, and I thought it was brilliant. That entire episode was brilliant. They just took the fourth wall and, like, shattered it. And they've been doing that for the past few weeks, but that's my favorite comedy this season. But I'm pretty sure that if I could understand Joshiraku, maybe I would appreciate it more, but as for now, I like Bimbo Gami. It's a really funny show.
Yeah, my interest also died on Bimbo Gami. I just couldn't handle every episode being this horrible cross. Like, this is... it should be doing is comedy, and does comedy extremely well. But when it gets to the melodrama, it falls flat on its face, and I'm wondering, why is this happening to me? I just want to laugh. I don't want them to watch it. These characters force the tears out of themselves. So, it's just... It just lost itself. It just lost me.
Mm.
So, go ahead.
Oh no, go on.
I was gonna say, we'll continue with this, and I'll move on to the next show I'm thinking of. Go ahead.
Well, at least for me, I think that some of the melodrama was necessary in that show, but not to the extent that they had it. There's this one episode, I labeled it the Trail of Tears, because literally, for half the episode, people were crying. And I was like, wait, this is a comedy. People should not be crying all the time, unless their tears make me laugh. But that's what it wasn't trying to do with those tears. But I feel like in the recent outings, they've been balancing out that sort of drama and comedy so they can get a lot of character development going. Because I always thought Ichigo and Momiji were great characters. It's just that within a comedy, they wouldn't develop that much. You know, they were just butt heads, and that'd be the end of that until one of them won. But throwing in a little bit of drama in there, you know, gives them a clear character progression arc, which I like, because I enjoy the characters so much.
I actually see a bit of magic in just having them go after each other continually. Kind of like, you know, Tom and Jerry, or Zelda.
Yeah.
Yeah, I immensely enjoyed those shows as a kid, so I was expecting that to come out again in Nimbogami, and to an extent it did. But in the end, I don't expect this drama to come out where the comedy is so strong, the drama is so weak.
I see.
I was going to say, moving on, I think this season really failed from a mecha, you know, Gundam mecha type perspective as well. The third age of Gundam has been subpar. Muv Love has been pretty terrible.
Yeah, I mean, I have to ask, didn't you love Muv Love? I mean, come on. It's obviously the best show.
It's a decent show, but not even decent. It's just there. You know what I mean? But I mean, it was kind of failure. There was nothing good to watch if you were you know, a mecha or big robot, giant robot type fan. It was really disappointing this season, I thought.
What about Rinne or Eureka 7?
Okay, so going to Astral Ocean.
Oh. Okay.
Oh.
I don't know how to put this. I am blogging this on a weekly basis. The show is utterly frustrating. They're just, where the original series had 50 episodes to take care of business, it feels like they're trying to do the same amount of stuff in 25, or even less now, maybe even 22. So they're missing key points of dialogue. They're not letting certain elements develop. While it's enjoyable to watch, and it's got some mystery and suspense to it, it's not up to par.
Oh, yeah, I can definitely see that.
I mean, I'll give it probably a 3 out of 5, but that's... I mean, I can see how somebody would rate it even less. Here, go ahead.
I mean, the thing about Eureka 7 is that I feel like that show in general has sort of really, really big shoes to fill. I mean, Eureka 7 is a franchise that's like near and dear to a lot of mecha fans' hearts. And just considering, you know, the scope and scale that Eureka 7 wants to be, like you said, that it just doesn't have enough time to actually, like, you know, breathe. Yeah, as you said, it's only 24 episodes, but it's like unheard of now to have an anime go on for like 4 cores, right?
Yeah.
One core is pretty much the standard for a show.
But if there are 4 cores, you could have explored Naru and her relationship with the Scub better. You could have built better relationships between the pilots. There could have been a lot more exposition where you could have understood what was going on. Maintained the suspense, but understood what you were being suspended about.
It was
very disappointing. But anyways, go ahead.
Oh, no, I mean, I feel that, you know, sometimes a show looks out and they get enough room to do what they want. I feel like Campione was one of those shows. It only had 13 episodes to try and tell a grandiose tale about the King of Kings. But some shows, they perfectly fit in the time that they're slotted, like Natsuyuki Rendezvous. 11 episodes was just enough for it to tell its story. And Kokoro Connect has 17 episodes, and the way it's looking, that those 17 episodes is enough for it to tell its story. And, you know, sometimes, you know, these directors and producers, they just don't have, you know, the studio backing or, you know, the time slot to make their anime as long as they want to.
Yeah.
Not every anime is One Piece.
That's true. So let's finish up with that, and let's go on to the next. In closing out the summer season, we now have the fall season coming up here in two weeks.
And crazy time.
Crazy time. Where summer was, I would say, average. If you took all the scores from all the shows, I would give it an average rating. I would say fall brings with it a lot of anticipation. Anxious anticipation.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. There's a lot of big-name projects going on right now for fall season. Should we go through them one by one?
Sure. So how about with this? We go, let's each of you guys pick your... What do you think your top 5 will be when the season is over? What shows will you still be watching and raving about at the end of the fall season?
All right, Sushi, you can go first.
All right, so I think my number one show next season is probably going to be K. I don't know exactly what's going on. I know there's a lot of action and people will die and there is blood, and it seems to have like sort of a philosophical tilt to it. So I think that show is probably going to be awesome, amazing, and deserving of all the hype it has. Number two and three, Jormungand and Magi. Magi, I'm just really digging the Arabian Nights feel of that show. I think I'd really enjoy it. I haven't seen that in an anime, as far as I know. And Jormungand, I just really, really, the first season was just a ton of fun. I think this is going to be, you know, the second coming of Black Lagoon. The second season of Black Lagoon was amazing, so I have no doubt that the second season of Jormungand is going to be great. And then my last two, these are the kind of toss-ups. I'm hoping they'll be great and that, you know, I'll be watching them throughout and they'll hold water. One of them being Chunibyo. It's Kill Annie. I know it'll be beautiful. I know it'll be a sight to behold. If you watch that trailer, it's utterly bonkers. And finally, it's Psycho Pass. This is another one of those shows like K where we don't know really anything about it. But the thing is, we don't have anything. Me personally, I don't have anything to really make an opinion about it. But, you know, it's Urobuchi Gen, so it might just be the best show this season. We don't know.
Sounds good. Mark, what about you? You still there, Mark? Dig it.
No,
I think he muted himself. So let's see here. Going through while he gets his mic figured out. I think I agree with you, Psycho Pass definitely has a lot of potential. I think so does Robotics Notes, but I think as I discussed you guys before the show started, they're both production IG, and they're both in the Noitamina slot, which is either a make or break kind of thing. People have high expectations, so maybe those shows will or won't live up to those expectations.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Codebreaker, I think, could be interesting. I've read the manga. Depending on how they do the anime, it could be a lot like I guess it could be enjoyable, kind of like how Blue Exorcist was, or it may be better, but we'll see. Other than that, I haven't looked at a lot of previews. I know I won't be watching To Love Rue, or I'm sorry, I won't be watching Little Busters. I know that's the crowd favorite that's going in. But, yeah, I think there's just, I'll have to pick and choose and find something that's enjoyable. Now, what about you, Mark? What are your needs?
Sorry about that. The mic just got disconnected. All right, so I'm relatively certain that Hidamari Sketch is going to end up being my favorite show of the season because I love every single season of Hidamari, and I don't see that changing. Let's see. At number two, I put Tonari no Kaibutsu-kun because that's exactly what I look for in animation, really. That's what I imagine that anime should be like. A lot of overdone things with animation itself. Like, it's fluid, it looks like animators are having fun with it, which is something I love to see. So that's that. And the other three, I'm just going to put up Girls in Panzer, Seito Kai no Ichizon, and Shinsa Kayori. And, yeah, that's about it for those, actually.
So what's the plot again for Shinsa Kai?
Well, I have the...
I'm not quite sure, actually.
All right. Well, I have the preview thing open right now, and it says, set in Japan a millennium from now, five children, the protagonists Saki, Satoru, Maria, Mamoru, and Shun, have been born and raised in a tranquil town that can be described as a utopia, overflowing with water and green foliage. The world is ruled by people who have the cursed power, or the god's power, of telekinesis. After a certain incident, Saki and the others come to realize the true nature of their world. Before long, they learn everything, including the bloody history that brought humanity to this state. The five throw themselves into life-threatening adventure and fighting to protect friends and a world on the brink of collapse.
Wow, this has a very similar plot to another show.
Huh.
Hmm. You think it'll do any better, though?
The thing about it is I think the only thing I've really noticed about the show is sort of the art design, and I think it could be good. I think else it could be really poorly done, like, you know, very super melodramatic and, you know, completely obsessed with whatever philosophy is trying to push. So, I don't know.
Well, if the show ends with a Irish folk song, we're in trouble.
I'll just say the reason why I'm really liking the prospect of this show. Well, naturally, there's that whole thing you have to be kind of scared of a highly anticipated show, because then if you're riding the hype train like I honestly am, you run the high chance of being disappointed spectacularly. I just feel like I need one of these good teenagers versus the world thing shows to come up, especially after the failures of Guilty Crown and whatever else we've had. I just want something nice that feels like a teenage power, you know?
I mean, part of the hype behind this is, you know, Sogo is writing this, but I feel like he's been sort of hit or miss with his adaptations. The Breakblade movies, they're great movies. You know, he's really successful there. Great adaptation, but then he also worked on Gantz. He wrote the script for Gantz, and Gantz was a complete failure in terms of capturing, you know, the mystique of the original. So, again, there's just a lot of question marks around this one. I just don't want to get my hopes up.
So what about JoJo's Bizarre Circus? That's a manga that's been running for ages. A lot of material there, a lot of history. Do you think that the true core of anime will do it justice?
I don't know. I just the main thing I feel about JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, honestly, I don't know how well it will resonate with today's audiences, you know? And also considering that it's really gimped because, you know, it only does have that one core. So, yeah.
Yeah, I reserve my comment for this one. I just don't have anything worthwhile to say about it.
Fair enough. Do you think Production IG will redeem itself this season?
Yes. I have faith in Production IG. Always do.
Alright, I'll just say no, because I'm tired of anime like Psycho Pass. And for Robotics Notes, I think the hype is way too high for Robotics Notes, especially coming right after Steins Gate. So I'm just going to say no, it will not redeem itself.
I mean, okay, if Robotics Notes is bad, I will say this. I will say, if Robotics Notes is bad, I will not blame Production IG. I will blame the original source material. Because I've heard that Robotics Notes is not as good as Steins Gate or Chaos Head. So, but since those two were animated, it's only a natural progression that Robotics Notes be animated as well. So, if it's bad, I will not blame Production IG for that.
What if Psycho Pass is bad as well, though?
If Psycho Pass is bad, then I would have to blame Production IG, considering it's an original work. But Urobuchi Gen is working on it, so it's probably not going to be.
Yawn.
So, from what I've seen for Psycho Pass, it's supposed to be along the lines of Ghost in the Shell in terms of its story and production. So, that, you know, Ghost in the Shell for me is easily one of my top 10 of all time. So, I'll watch it, but I'll be wary of where it's going. I'll be very, I don't know, reserved about what I think.
Could we actually, just going back to Robotics Notes, can we talk about, Min actually mentioned something. He said, no matter how bad the original work is, it's the adapter's responsibility to make a good product. What do you guys think about that?
I think that holds true with something like Sankareya from Spring. I mean, that show, that the source material was average to below average. Let's say a 2.5 out of 5, right? And for those first few episodes, they really brought that up to a quality adaptation. You know, granted, it trailed off at the end.
Exactly.
I can agree with that statement. I think you can take anything and with the right production value, make it something enjoyable to watch.
Exactly. All right, you can go first.
For me, I'm from the Watchmen's school of thought in that sometimes certain things don't fit in certain mediums. The thing, like Watchmen, the movie I felt was terrible. You know, it was originally written just to be a comic book, but it didn't succeed as a movie because it was never meant to be that way. I feel for Robotics Notes in general, I think it's a decent VM, but I don't know how well it will hold up as anime, mainly because it was not created with that in mind. I mean, sure, Steins Gate and Chaos Head weren't as well, but, you know, it just worked out that way that, you know, a quality anime show was created from that original work.
All right, I have to agree completely with the statement, though, because I feel that when we... I'm sorry. When we have an adaptation, the whole purpose of adaptation is to best convey what was in the original work or what could be improved in the original work and make it better or make it that it fits with the medium you're transferring to. For example, for Watchmen, a lot of people feel that it didn't capture the, how would you say this, the comic book style. But I largely attribute that to the fact that whoever was doing cinematography didn't realize the homologous structure of the panel and the shot, because the manga and film both have, well, actually nearly all media, they have a bunch of homologous structures or keyframes they can be using. It's just that the utilization of that is what determines the quality of the adaptation, or like the bending of that. And like Min brings up again, Bakemonogatari is the shining example of how a great adaptation can come from a middling original product. And I agree, because I've read the original text, and it's not that interesting. But when you add the visuals, when you add the voice, when you add a sense of humor to it, that's when I feel that it comes to life. That's a brilliant adaptation.
I don't know. It's hard for me to actually make a comment on, say, something like Bakemonogatari. Honestly, I'm the type of person that says that all light novel translation are trash because they can't capture the original author's voice at all. So, but I don't know. I feel that sometimes if you don't have something like great to work with, you can only go so far. And I'm willing to withhold my judgment on Production IG. If it doesn't do that well, I mean, sometimes, you know, if the original source material, you know, doesn't really provide something exciting on screen, then there's only so much you can do. So I will stick to what I said, because I like protecting Production IG as best as I can.
All right, no change in that, I suppose. Can't convince you out of that, so. All right. Is there anything else we'd like to talk about?
I think we've summed up this last season, this current season, pretty well. I'm looking through our stream and trying to find any questions for you guys, but I think you've explained your points of view pretty concisely and clearly. So you've left our viewers pretty speechless in terms of questions, but some great comments coming, like you said, from Min and from some others in the timeline. So that was some good dialogue we got back out of it. But let's kind of finish up then.
Can I have a question for Sushi then?
Okay, go
for it. Oh, yeah, what's up?
Who's your five favorite idol master?
Okay. So
This is important.
If you've listened to the Fapcast that I was on with Kivo, you'll know that I have not watched Idol Master. Sadly.
Oh. I'm speechless.
I'm sorry. I will quit blogging tomorrow.
I just don't know what to say to that. Like, it's such a rich source of conversation and making fun of other people and just being terrible human beings that don't know.
No, but I will make a shout out to Kivo. I did promise you that I will watch it, but that'll have to be sometime in the near future, considering I have a really large backlog to get through, and I'm trying to beat Little Busters before I start blogging it. So, it's been taking up a lot of my time trying to beat Little Busters.
I'm crushed, but all right, I respect that. All right. Okay. All right, fine.
All right, guys, so give me your final thoughts then. Why don't you go ahead, Mark? Your first time on the show, did you enjoy yourself?
Yeah, actually, I think, like Akira says every so often, that anime is more about who you hang out with or who you talk to. And that's why I feel like I should have started expanding into actually talking to people about anime. So this is like the first step into it, and I really enjoyed it.
Good deal, good deal. Anything else you want to comment on some of the stuff, maybe for some of the things our viewers have said, or maybe backtrack on something you said earlier and flush it out a bit?
Oh, yeah, sure. Aeroglyph has great taste in idol ass, so.
Just saying.
All right, Sushi, what about you? Final thoughts for tonight?
Well, I had a lot of fun. It was nice meeting Mike for the first time. I love it when... Huh?
Mark.
Yeah, Mark. Yeah,
that's awkward.
That's awkward. Yeah. But no, you know, I like meeting, you know, new people all the time. I mean, I just started blogging myself about like 3 months ago, and it's been a crazy ride. And before Fosh kills me, a shout out to Fosh. He's the greatest anime blogging senpai a blogger could ask for.
Oh, man.
And also a shout out to Kyokai and Ness. Oh, and Smiley and Highway, because they write a lot of articles for my personal blog, and they don't ask for anything in return. So, I love you guys.
Okay, can I actually one more question, guys, now that I scrolled down all the way to on the chart. So, the Madoka movies are airing in America in certain states.
Yes.
Yes, they are.
Would you guys be caught going to a theater for that?
Yeah, hell yeah. I would go watch it.
Probably not. Even though I have two daughters that are the right age to go watch that, no.
Okay. I just felt like asshole.
Oh no. I mean, a lot of my friends, we do watch anime, so we're gonna go watch it anyways after the announcement. So I'm down.
Oh, okay. All right.
All right, guys. Well, thank you again for coming up, and I have a special announcement at the end of the show. The next show will be on Sunday, September 23rd, as we are bringing in Scamp from The Cart Driver to be on. So we got to do an afternoon show so that the time zones all match up. So it'll be Scamp and Kivo of Desu X Machina. So be sure you guys show up. That'll be a lot of fun to watch, or listen to, I guess, more than anything. We'll have those two guys voice their contradictory opinions about a few things, and it should be a lot of fun. But remember, it's next Sunday, September 23rd, I forgot to put the time here, but it'll be at 1 p.m. in the afternoon Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, and that would be 9 o'clock in the evening British/Irish time. So keep that in mind. I'll make sure I post some messages this week. So, but next Sunday will be the next show. As always, thank you. You can find this show and others at my WordPress site, joanimated.wordpress.com. There's a link there for a podcast feed. You can also, I believe, find it on iTunes, but I haven't looked there in a while. But if you search for Joe Animated, I believe it pops up still. Also, I post all these videos to YouTube as well as the site, so you can go to the YouTube channel and see a bunch of stuff there. You can also see the video that I made with Carniel for the Anablog tourney there if you want to see some funny stuff with her. And as always, if you'd like to be on the show, you can join me. Just send me an email, let me know you're interested, and just like Mark, we'll get you on board. Again, thanks, guys, for joining, and good night.
Mm-hmm.
Good night.